Panchakoshaha ke page 26. Panchakoshaha ke. Say it, you have to say it.
Panchakoshaha ke. Okay.
The K is the nominative plural. It'd be 1-3 for people learned it that way. Panchakoshaha, panchakoshaha ke. What are the panchakoshas? So, a kosha is considered like a sheath. Like if you've ever, I don't know, if you were young with these blades of grass, you would pull very gently the top, the grass out of the sheath, and then eat the grass. You remember doing that? You have to pull so carefully. Or a sheath, a kosha is used for like a knife, a case for a knife. That's called a sheath. You know, you have a knife and it's put in the sheath and then you put it on your belt. That's a sheath. So a sheath is considered something that covers. It's a covering. But here when we say these five sheaths that we're going to list right now, it's a covering of ajnanam. The covering is ignorance. Because these five sheaths, these pancha, remember pancha is five, so these five sheaths actually, again, are function as upadis. They're points of identification. And because of self-ignorance, I can identify myself with these sheaths. So let's just look just first the translation of the sheaths, and then I want to relate them to the stula sukshma and kalina shariras, you know, the physical body, the subtle body, and the causal body. These sheaths fit within that. It's just another way of differentiating our experiences. Okay, so first one. So what are they? He gives, first of all, a list. So, annamayaha.
Annamayaha.
Pranamayaha.
Pranamayaha.
Manomayaha.
Manomayaha.
Vijnanamayaha.
Vijnanamayaha.
Anandamayaha.
Anandamayaha.
Cha-iti.
Cha-iti.
Okay, so you see, first of all, each one of these, anna, prana, manas, vijnana, ananda, they all end with this affix mayaha. Maya, the primary meaning in this sense is a modification of something. So for instance, if I say annamayaha, that means a modification of food. So the annamayaha kosha is that covering which is really a modification of food. The modification of food is the physical body. So annamaya kosha. Your pranamayaha, a modification of prana. Manomayaha, a modification of the manas. Vijnanamayaha, a modification of the vijnana, of the buddhi. Anandamayaha, a modification of happiness or joy. Sukha. Okay. And so these are the five koshas. These are where there can be a point of identification. For instance, I can say, I am my body. So the anamaya kosha will be, because it is going to be the physical body. The physical body is what is made of food, as we'll see in a minute. I can take myself to be the physical body, etc. So now we're going to go through each one of these and define them in more detail, and then we'll take a look at it in terms of the scheme of things, okay? So first, of course, if they say, annamayaha kaha,
Annamayaha kaha.
So, anarasena eva.
Anna rasena eva.
Bhutva. Anna rasena eva.
Anna rasena eva.
Vridhim prapya. Anna rupa prithivyam.
Anna rupa prithivyam.
Yad viliyate. Tad annamayaha.
Koshaha.
Stula shariram. So this, the annamaya kosha, is equivalent to the physical body, the stula sharira. So what it says here, why annamaya? First it says, instead of just annam, now it says annarasa. That means the very essence of food. What is it in the food that is nourishing? Swamiji will use the example that when you're eating food, some of that food is absorbed into the body, feeding the body, being used to nourish the body, and then some is eliminated as waste. The rasa is that which the body needs and uses. The waste is eliminated. That's not the rasa. So think when you say anarasa, that part of the food which is actually nourishing the body, the essence of the food that the body requires. So here it says, anarasena eva bhutva. Bhutva, having become by means of the anarasa alone. So the body having come into being, that which is anarasa, the anamaya, this anamaya kosha, having come into being because of the essence of food alone, that which is nourishing, the nourishing food. So first, having come into being by means of the food, and then it says, anarasena eva vridhim prapya, and having grown. Vridhi means to grow, but they say vridhim prapya, having gained this growth. Another, it's an inclinable past participle. So having gained this growth by means of food. First the food allows you to take a form, and then you grow because of food, due to food. And then, anarupa prithivyam yad viliyate. And then, you viliyate, you decompose, you blend into, or you resolve into the earth, which is always viewed as food. So it says, anarupa prithivyam. Prithivyam, into the earth, which is nothing but food. Okay. So, anarupa prithivyam yad viliyate, that which decomposes into the earth, which is of the nature of food, that is called annamayaha kosha. And then it says stula shariram, because here the annamaya kosha is solely the stula sharira. So here, if you keep on this side of the equation, you've got the stula sharira, the physical body, the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, the karana sharira, the causal body. Now these five koshas are going to fit in to all of these. So the first one, it's just the annamaya kosha and the stula sharira, the physical body, are equated. So this physical body, which is the stula sharira, the physical body, which is this annamaya kosha, you know, really functions as a kosha, as a covering of myself, not in any real way, but because I can take myself to be that, it acts as a cover. Okay, so that's the definition of the annamaya kosha, and you can just then see it equivalent to the body. The next one, pranamaya kaha. What is the pranamaya kosha? What do we mean by pranamaya? Because they're all koshas. What do you mean by that kosha which is made of prana, which is a modification of the prana, the vital force? So it says, pranadhyaha. Panchavayavaha. Vak Adi. Indriya Panchakam. Pranamayaha. Koshaha. This will come later. I'm just going to... I talked a little tiny bit about this going back to the end of Maya Kosha for just a moment. If we consider Maya is comprised of Sattva Rajas Tamas, and that's what Maya is. There's nothing extra. Sattva Rajas Tamas. The Anamaya Kosha is the subtle aspect of the Tamas Guna. Three Gunas, Sattva Rajas Tamas. So the subtle aspect of the Tamo Guna goes through this process of grossification, we call it. It's that becoming fivefold, even for now, goes through this process of grossification to become the physical body. Okay. Now, in the Pranamaya Kosha, right with that? So that's tamas. The Pranamaya Kosha, the vital force and all of its members, as I'll talk in a minute, the Pranamaya Kosha with its fivefold members, and also the karmendriyas, the organs of action. So the five pranas and the organs of action, all of those are made of the rajas, the subtle rajas aspect of the five elements. Now, if you notice, they're put together here. Right? You've got the prana, pranadyaha, pancha vayavaha. So the five winds, we mean the five pranas, beginning with pranadyaha, beginning with prana. So what are the five? Prana, apana, udana, dhyana, samana. Yeah, good. Okay. So prana is usually when we put it with apana, it's the whole respiratory system, which is the outgoing prana and the ingoing apana. And then there's the apana, which is that downward motion and used for evacuation. Then we have udana, which is then we have vyana. Do we have udana and vyana or vyana? We have vyana, which is the circulatory system. We have udana, then, which is the... Actually, I was saying peristaltic movement. That's not right. It's the opposite of the peristaltic movement that pushes up. The peristaltic movement presses down. So the udana is the peristaltic movement that presses up for vomiting. And also, it's that force that ejects the whole soul. So that's udana. And then we have samana. Right, samana. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. Okay. So samana is the circulatory system, right? So those we just have to kind of know. But what I want you to understand now, because of the way we're breaking these up, is that, so we have the pranadyaha, beginning with the prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. These five vayavahas, these five winds, this is another way of saying the five pranas. Then it says vak indriya, vak adi indriya, panchakam, and the five indriyas beginning with vak. Those are the karmendriyas, right? So that's vak, pani, pada, payu, pasta. These five. So we have to look. Vak, pani, pada, payu, pasta. So vak is speech. Right, pani is the hands, then pada is the feet, payu is excretion, the organ of excretion, and upasta is the genital sexual organs. Okay. So these are the karmendriyas. So the pranas and the karmendriyas are brought about, are made of the rajas subtle aspect of the five elements. Okay, so they put these together. Now the five. The five elements, when they're taken all together, the subtle aspect of all five elements taken all together, those make the five pranas. So the pranas are comprised of all five elements, the rajas aspect of all five, whereas the karmendriyas are comprised of, each has one. You know, like vak is, for the vak, it's the space, akasha, and it goes down like that. We'll see. All that, but this is all going to be. I'm just throwing this out now because we're going to go into great detail about this rather complex manifestation of the creation that involves all of this stuff. So right now, when we're talking about the pranamaya kosha, you just have to know that it includes the five pranas and the five organs of action, the five karmendriyas. Karma means action. Karma, indriya. Apasi is a. So karma, indriya, karmendriya. The indriyas, the organs of karma, of action. Karmendriyas, dharasarimas, body, bhava, etc. So these are together. So it says, pranadhyaha, panchavayavaha, the five winds beginning with prana, panchadi, indriya, panchakam, again, and what? And the five organs beginning with vak, the karmendriyas, they are the pranamayaha. That's what makes up the pranamayaha koshaha. See? Ready? All right. Look at how we're going. Let me just, one other thing here. Look at how we're going inward. Okay? So we started with the stula sharira, which is just equated to the endamaya kosha. There's nothing else. But now we're going, for the rest of them, until we get to the last one, on endamaya kosha, we're going into the sukshma sharira. Every one of these koshas belongs to the sukshma, to the subtle body. Prana belongs to the subtle body, right? The five pranas. The five organs of action belong to the subtle body. Okay. And now, what's the next one? The manomaya also belongs to the subtle body, but the manas is going to have to pick up the jnanendriyas, the organs of sight, or the organs of sense, beginning with sight, sense organs, jnanendriyas. Jnana, indriya, aplasi, jnana, indriya, aplasi is a, jnanendriya, the sense organs. So look at what this says. It says, manascha, or say, did you do this? Manomayaha kaha. Say that. Manascha.
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 Jnanendriya panchakam.
Jnanendriya panchakam.
Militva.
Militva.
Yaha bhavati.
Yaha bhavati.
Saha manomayaha.
Saha manomayaha.
Koshaha.
Koshaha.
Here it says manascha. What is the manomayaha? So manascha. So you could say the mind and the mind. Jnanendriya panchakam militva. Militva is just together with. The mind along with the jnanendriya panchakam, with the five sense organs. Jnanendriya, sense organ. So organs of knowledge, literally. Those are the five sense organs. So jnanendriya panchakam militva. So the mind along with the five sense organs. Yaha bhavati. In Sanskrit we'd say, that which is the mind, the one who is, or that which is the mind along with the five sense organs, saha manomaya koshaha. That is the manomaya kosha. So they always say yaha saha. In English we don't translate both of those. We would just say, you know, the mind together with the sense, with the five sense organs is the manomaya kosha. And so when you're doing Sanskrit, you have to add some extra things sometimes. So now here, we've got, remember the subtle body, okay? So in the subtle body, so we've got the prana, we've got the five pranas, we've got the five organs of action, and now we've got the five jnanendriyas, that's 15 have been covered, and now we have the first of the how they break it down at. We have the first of the two aspects of the antakarna. So we've got the manas. So that becomes the manomaya kosha. I'll talk a little bit more about this as we get through it. Vijnanamaya kaha.
Vijnanamaya kaha.
Buddhihi.
Buddhihi.
Jnanendriya panchakam.
Jnanendriya panchakam.
Militva.
Militva.
Yaha bhavati.
Yaha bhavati.
Saha vijnanamaya koshaha.
Saha vijnanamaya koshaha.
So the buddhihi, jnana indriya panchakam militva, together with the five sense organs. So both the mind, the manas, and the buddhi, the five sense organs, are used with along with both. Okay, so that one that is called the Mano, the Vijnanamaya, is the Buddhi together with the five sense organs. That is called Vijnanamaya Kosha. Vijnana means knowledge, right? Clarity. So Vijnana, so Buddhi is for that which is clear, that which is determinative, where there's no doubt. So the Buddhi is considered Vijnana, clear knowledge. So that's why Vijnanamaya Kosha. So now with this one, we have divided the Sukshma Sharira, the subtle body, into the prana, right? The pranamaya kosha, the manomaya kosha, the vijnanamaya kosha. Mm-hmm. And the indriyas, the karma indriyas go with the prana, and the jnana indriyas go with both the manomaya kosha and the vijnanamaya kosha. So all of the aspects of the subtle body are contained in this. And then you have the last one, anandamaya kaha.
Anandamaya kaha.
Okay. What is the anandamaya kosha? Evam eva.
Evam eva.
Karana sharira bhuta.
Karana sharira bhuta.
Avidyasta.
Avidyasta.
Malinasattvam.
Malinasattvam.
Priyadi vritti sahitam.
Priyadi vritti sahitam.
Sat.
Sat.
Anandamayaha.
Anandamayaha.
Koshaha.
Koshaha.
So, here, this anandamaya kosha is the karana sharira. So we've got the stula sharira as the anandamaya kosha, and then at the end you've got the anandamaya kosha, the bliss sheath sometimes it's called, the anandamaya kosha as the karana sharira. And in between, all of the other koshas belong to the sukshma sharira. So that's how this is differentiated. And again, these differentiations that we're making are all to be used to differentiate myself from these experiences. So we're just kind of refining the experiences. In fact, when we were just doing the shariras, you know, the stula, sukshma, and karana sharira, we looked at the three avastas, right, and looked at those are points of identification, a different way of classification. The same identification that one has with the stula sharira plays out in the waking state and in the dream state and in the deep sleep state. That's why they put it there. Now we're going again, looking at the same experience in this body, mind, sense organs, and we're dividing it up into five now. So we can get a little bit more refined to see where these points of identification take place so that we can recognize that we're not those. That's the whole idea. That their viveka has to take place in all of these different ways. So here it is. So here he says, karana sharira bhuta avidyasta malinasattvam. That's one nice long compound. It's like one word. That when you break this one word, it becomes like a long sentence. But it's just a compound. It's just one grammatical word in a sentence, if you can imagine. But the compound itself can be a whole sentence. But it's only one grammatical word in another sentence, in the sentence. So here, this one word says, malina sattva, the sattva, which is impure. Because sta, so malina, the impure sattva, which abides, it's impure because it's abiding in the avidya, ignorance, which is of the nature of the causal body. So the sattva, the sattva is not there because the causal body is the causal condition of the oh, just give me a minute here. of the stula sharira, of the physical body, and of the subtle body also. And so, for instance, in the deep sleep avasta, in the shushupti avasta, it's the subtle body really that goes into unmanifest conditions. So the physical body is not known at that time. But the sattva is still there. The sattva, rajas, tamas are still there in unmanifest condition. But they are swallowed by, in a sense, swallowed by ajnanam. Right? They're swallowed by ajnanam. So that's why it says that molina sattva is the sattva that is influenced by ajnanam or is subject to ajnanam. If your mind is pure sattva, but the sattva, you know, is unable to differentiate between the consciousness and the objects of perception that are there held in the vritti. It's not able to do that. It is sullied in the sense that has that molina sattva. There's molina sattva because of its identification with the, and it's coming together with the body, mind, sense organs. Coming together with like this. The sukshma sharira with its sattva and rajas indwell this physical body. That's the molina. They indwell the, that's part of, they indwell the physical body. And so the sattva uses this physical body in order to perceive the world. When we talk about Ishvara, it's no longer molina sattva. It's pure sattva because there is no ajnanam for Ishvara and there's no misidentification. So the jiva, through no fault of your own, by the way, through no fault of our own, the very upadhi itself is what causes the ajnanam and causes the sense of limitation because the upadhi is limited. The sukshma sharira is abiding in this upadhi, you know, and looking out through the five sense organs and identified with the body through the sense of touch. And so really, there's no way that this maya, that there is no way to have a whole experience of maya, whereas Ishvara has a whole experience of maya. It means the whole maya upadhi, I have an abhimana. Abhimana means it is me. This is myself. This is my body without any ajnanam though. This is my body means the whole infinite universe has a sense of me, of myself. That is Ishvara, right? It's not contaminated or contained in or seen through an upadhi. It has no point of identification in the upadhi, in any given upadhi. Rather, the whole infinite creation, you know, has an abhimana, a sense of self, a sense of me. That's because, where there be no point of identification, sattva, rajas, and tamas pervade the entire creation. It's not like there's the entire creation, but there's no rajas here. There's no sattva here. No. The whole thing is a manifestation of maya, which is sattva, rajas, and tamas. There's no holes there. There's sattva, rajas, and tamas. But if you're, because of this panchi, with the panchikanana, and the difference between the sukshma sharira and the individual jiva, there is a limitation that you can't do anything about. You know, it's not like you can have the experience, from the standpoint of this jiva, you can't have the experience of Ishvara, of Ishvara's upadhi, unless Krishna comes along and taps you on the head, like he did to Arjuna. You know, Arjuna had called the divine chakshu, because he wanted it so badly, got the divine chakshu, and he had the experience of the Ishvara upadhi. But from the standpoint just of this upadhi, utilizing the sense organs in the mind that we have, we cannot have that. You know, so we don't have a divya chakshu. Bhagavan has to give you that. Divya chakshu means divine sight. Chakshu is eyes. So divya is divine. So Bhagavan gave him some divine sight to be able to see his upadhi, the Ishvara upadhi. But from our standpoint, our experience is limited. So here, the eva karana sharira bhuta avidyasta malinas, I was explaining the malina. The sattva, this sattva is, malina means impure or dirtied, sullied. But our sattva is impure because it's abiding itself in the avidya, in the ignorance, which is the ignorance, the ajnanam, which is the very nature of the karana sharira for the jiva. And so that being that is its kosha, and it says priyadi vritti sahitam sat. And it is to get along with the particular vrittis, priyadi vrittis, priya moda pramoda. These are just three words for different types of ananda, you know. And sometimes it's viewed the priya, and this is not the only way, but sometimes we look like this. Priya, moda, pramoda. Yeah. It can be just liking something, loving something, and then be more infatuated, more like that. It can be an increase, but it can also be how they talk about what happens when you fulfill a desire. Yeah. So it goes like this. First, you want something. You have a desire. Okay, that's stress. As soon as that comes up, then there's something that you have to achieve. And I mean a desire where I want this so I can be happy. That's a desire. Not a non-binding desire. Well, I want this, but it's fine. Not that. I want this. I need this so I can be happy. That's the stress of when the desire arises, the whole universe kind of breaks it into parts. The people who help me, people who are in my way, and the people who don't care. The whole world just rearranges itself, and now I go toward the attainment of this desire. And as I approach, just as I get close to knowing that I am going to get it, I don't have it yet, but the obstructions are gone, and it's right there. And so I am approaching the accomplishment of this desire, and I start to get happy. The stress starts to leave, and I start to feel some real, real happiness. And then what happens is I achieve the desire. And then I have just a moment of such freedom, such ananda. Everything is fine with me. You know, there is the state of being a jnani. Because at that moment, Swamiji will joke about this, but it's true also that from the standpoint of the mind, experiential, because the mind has fulfilled its desire and it wants nothing. It wants nothing at that moment, so I'm just totally content with myself. That's the moda. And it's a very wonderful, you know, from that kind of happiness and excitement to complete on the ananda of myself, shining nicely in that shantavritti. And then there's the aftermath, the pramoda, where I'm just, you know, all is good. And I'm just happy because I've fulfilled my desire. And so, so it goes to, you know, the joy of expectancy, that moment of bliss, and then just the aftermath of being with the happiness. Yeah, as it slowly kind of fades away, but it's kind of a happiness that comes after this. Sometimes they call that priya moda pramoda. This is all it really means here, priyadi vritti. It's this, there's many different types of ananda expressed in the mind. So these are just three, the priya moda pramoda, very well known. So priyadi, beginning with priya, vritti. So vrittis, such beginning with priya moda pramoda, sahita. Together with these vrittis. So it's the karana sharira, that pure kind of ajnanam, the malini sattva, they're abiding in that pure ajnanam of the causal body, along with these different modifications of happiness, these kind of vrittis. That is called the anandamaya kosha. Now, so then it says, etat kosha panchakam. These are the five. So read that. Etat kosha panchakam. These are the five koshas. Okay. So now there's a couple, few things to point, just to talk about a little bit here, that are interesting. The manas, the manomaya. So we've got the manas and the buddhi. Okay. First of all, the manas are just the vrittis that take place in the antakarana. Many, many vrittis take place. And there's no necessarily any comment on them. Swamiji talks like this. Say you have, you're looking at a flower, at a rose. So there's a flower that comes up. And so now you have a vritti, a thought modification of the flower, right? And then, but then the buddhi says, this is a flower. That's the buddhi, right? The manas, the flower arises, the vritti arises. The buddhi, makes a comment. This is a flower. Or the what would belong to the manas is the flowers there, and the manas starts not being clear about what that is. Is this a real flower? Is it not a real flower? Is it a plastic flower? What kind of flower is it? That's all manas. So the doubting mind also is considered manas. But also the vrittis, the thought modifications as they come up, are just manas. The other thing that comes, the emotions as they just come up. You know, like you have an emotion of sorrow or emotion of happiness or an emotion of falling in love or all of these different emotions, they arise into the manas, right? The buddhi does something about that. Well, say these are, first of all, just to make the manas more complete. All of these vrittis, these experiences rise up into the manas, right? Along with doubts, along with all of the negative emotions, not positive. We'll see in a minute. Positive emotions are anandamaya kosha. We'll see why that is. But it's all the different types of emotions, not the bliss sheath. Bliss sheath takes care of all of the positive ones. But all of the different types of emotions that rise up, we don't really know why they rise up. They just rise up. And then your buddhi response, if the mind isn't going, well, what's happening now? What's happening? Without any clarity, that's manas. But when the buddhi comes in and takes charge and has something to say, has some definite relationship with that, where it's holding the knowledge, like it can say, that I'm positive that that's a rose. That is not a plastic rose. It is a real rose. How do you know it's a real rose? Then we're back into the manas, you know. And then the buddhi can say, all right, what you need to do is touch the rose. Smell the rose and touch the rose. And then you will be convinced. Okay. Yeah. Okay, it is a rose. Okay, this buddhi is back. Clarity, buddhi and clarity go together, you know. The ahankara is often put in with the buddhi. Instead of keeping them separate, the ahankara is viewed as a part, you know, of the buddhi, because you don't identify with something. If you use I, like I am going to the store, you don't think, am I going to the store? Or somebody else going to the store? Who exactly is going to the store? The buddhi, the ahankara, that I notion, you're very clear about it. Until you start studying Vedanta, then it all goes, wow. Okay, then the buddhi has to come in on another level. But otherwise, the buddhi, that ahankara, that I notion, you know, says, if you say, I am sad, you know, then you're not saying, I am happy. Am I sad or am I happy? You could say that, actually. I'm both sad and happy. That's buddhi. That doesn't make sense, actually. Some people are very sad, but they're also very happy. They had to really give up something. They had to make a big sacrifice, but it was well worth that sacrifice, and so they're both sad and happy. The buddhi can make that clarification. You know, but then the manas can come along and say, can I be sad and happy at the same time? I'm not sure. That's manas. Another thing is that the citta, the memory, can often be placed with the manas, because citta is something that just arises. You know, your memory arises. There's no clarity of knowledge. The buddhi would come and respond to the citta in the memory in one way or another. But the citta is just, you know, you've invoked a memory, there's the memory. You know, you're looking out at the view, there's the view. See what I mean? That's all manas. The buddhi is going to make some determination about it, or else the manas is just going to be, you know, wandering about, wondering what to do, that kind of thing. So you have to include in the manas all of these things besides the citta. Usually, often in Tetra Bodhi, it's not so. I've seen in other places where it's not so either. They're usually different. But if they're together, but the citta with the manas, the ahankara with the buddhi, and that takes care of those four differentiations, you know. It's interesting to realize that the ananda that you experience does not have something to do with the manas, you know. It not even with the buddhi. It has to do the experiences of joy, the different experiences of pleasure, have to do with the quietude of the mind. So when the buddhi, when the manas, the buddhi become quiet, like for instance, when you fulfill a desire, at that moment, the mind becomes quiet, right? And so in that quiet mind, shantavritti, gains a shantavritti, there is the experience of ananda. So now it's no longer buddhi, it's no longer manas, it's the actual kind of resolution of the mind into that shantavritti. And in that shantavritti and different levels of shanti, that there is the expression of ananda. Now why do they call them, and they put that with the karana sharira, because in the ananda, in that expression of ananda, there's not really a thought. It's not about a thought. It's about the resolving into that anandamaya kosha, where there is not really an identification of anything except the self and ajnanam. So why is that? Ajnanam says the self and ajnanam, because you're experiencing the ananda of your being, different degrees of it because of the amount of subtlety in the mind. But it's always time-bound for you. When you have an ananda, when you have a vritti, like a happy vritti, you know it's not forever. I'm having a happy experience right now. So these are all time-bound and situational, but the main thing is time-bound. You say, I am so happy. Ah, you know yourself. You are happiness. You are ananda. That's so true. Yeah, but my ananda comes and goes. The jnani's ananda isn't supposed to come and go. The atma's ananda isn't supposed to come and go. My ananda comes and goes. That's the ananda maya kosha. Yes, your ananda comes and goes because it's what we call vritti ananda. It's the ananda born of a vritti. It's not the ananda of the self that is illumining the vritti. It's the characteristic, the nature of the vritti itself. So that's why we say vritti ananda. The ananda that is born of a shanta vritti. But we don't know that if we don't have self-ignorance. All we know is we get to be happy at this moment. And usually it's because I fulfilled a desire and I get that shanta vritti and I'm so, so happy. Or I'm taking a beautiful walk in nature and my mind just smooths out and I feel so at peace, so happy. Or your little child gives you a great big smile and your heart just goes, psh, you're so happy. Or your dog runs up to you. This is more for me. Yeah. Your dog runs up to you. It's a tail wagging. So there's all these things that Bhagavan has given us to form these sukhavrittis, these shantavrittis. And we love those shantavrittis because they give us a glimpse. They're like a window into my nature, you know. But they're also dukkha yonis. All these shantavrittis are dukkha yonis. They're wombs for suffering. Yoni means a womb. They're womb for suffering because they're time-bound. It's like you get to be yourself for a moment and then it closes over. It's like the drowning man. You know, the person who's drowning in the ocean and the tides pull them up and they're so happy to breathe and then they're just pulled down again. Pushed up, oh, thank goodness, oh, this is great, I can be pulled down again. After a while, you don't want to come up and down. You're tired of the whole thing. You want to be put on the shore. You want to just be yourself. These are all these ananda vrittis make mumukshus out of us because it's so disappointing. You know, you're so at home, just with yourself, this, and you know this is what it's supposed to be. This is how I'm supposed to be. And every time you're pulled down under. And you know that Swamiji calls that perfect cup of coffee, the Madras coffee. You know it's the perfect cup of coffee. Why can't I have that again? It only comes once in a while. And it doesn't last very long. You know when you're drinking a really wonderful cup of coffee, this is what, because Swamiji loves these Madras coffee. So you're drinking this wonderful cup of coffee, but every sip you take, it gets less. And it's a final sip. And we know that about our ananda vrittis. You know, every moment that goes by, you know, we know that the end is approaching. That's how it is. That makes us a mumukshu. if we never had any ananda vrittis, if we never had any experience of myself as I know is me, I'm not even talking about the fireworks of ananda, just the wholeness of my being. I know that is who I am, but it's time-bound. So who am I? How do I get that? Where is it? What is it? Where is it? And then you pray to Bhagawan, please help me, because I know that it's not out here. That's the Viveka Vairagya. I know I can't get that here, because everything is time-bound, period. There's nothing that lasts here. I cannot get it. But that's what I want. You all know it. That none of us have not experienced that deep sense of well-being. You know? And we keep losing it. Because it's only makeshift vritti, a temporary vritti that gives us a little window into the one who is always there residing as me. Just gives us a little window. And then we want that. We wish we didn't lose it all the time. And so this also, the anandamaya, is a kosha, right? Because it gives us a window and it is time-bound. And so that is my experience of my happy self. My happy self is a time-bound self, and I only get to experience it basically when I fulfill a desire or I'm in a beautiful space. You know, Swamiji always ruins the beautiful space with mosquitoes. So these are all points of identification that we need to differentiate ourselves from. Oh, we didn't read this one. I read it, but Sheridan didn't. Let's read this because I can go through this quickly. This etat kosha panchakam. We said that. This is the post panchakosha. Easily. But do this last one. Yeah. I do the first one. Etat kosha panchakam too.
Etat kosha panchakam. Madiyam shariram.
Madiyah pranah.
Madiyah pranah.
Madiyah pranah.
Madiyah pranah.
Madiyam manascha.
Madiyam manascha.
Madiya buddhihi.
Madiya buddhihi.
Madiyam ajnanam.
Madiyam ajnanam.
Iti. Svenaiva.
Svenaiva.
Nyayate.
Nyayate.
Tadyatha.
Tadyatha.
Madiyatvena.
Madiyatvena.
Nyatam.
Nyatam.
Kataka.
Kataka.
Kundalagrhadikam.
Kundalagrhadikam.
Swasmad bhinnam.
Swasmad bhinnam.
Tata. Tata.
Tata.
Panchakoshadikam.
Panchakoshadikam.
Madiyatvena.
Madiyatvena.
Nyatamatma.
Nyatamatma.
Nabhavati.
Nabhavati.
So after saying these are the five sheaths, he tells exactly what is the problem, why we call them sheaths. First, madiyam shariram. Madiyam means my. So madiyam shariram, this is my body. Okay, so first kosha, this is my body. This is going to say, and I am this body. This is my body. Madiyaha pranaha. This is my vital force. These are my pranas. Madiyam manahacha. This is my mind. Right? This is my mind. Madiya buddhihi. This is my buddhi. Then madiyam ajnatam. This is my ignorance. It's not your ignorance. This is my ignorance. Okay? So each one of these sheaths means I take it to be me. Me or mine. Doesn't make any difference. This is my body, my thought, or I am my mind, you know. But what am I besides my thoughts? I am my thoughts. These are my thoughts. I am my thoughts. This is my body. I am my body. me, mine means the point, upadi, point of identification, point of identification. So then it says, so agnanam madiyam agnanam iti swena eva jnayate tat. That these things, they jnayate, are known swena eva, as myself alone. I take all of these koshas to be me. All of them are known as me, as myself, me and mine. Yata, just as, he says, gives an example, me twain jnatam, just as there is minus, like this, for what? Kataka is a bangle. Kundala is an earring. Griha is a house. This bangle is mine. This earring is mine. These earrings are mine. This house is mine. This money is mine. These children are mine. This property is mine. Mine, mine, mine. But bangle is good enough. Bangle, earring, house. Just as these have this madiyatvam, madiyatvam, the state of minus, is given to all of these things. These are all known as mine. Swasmat binnam. So it says, these things, like the bangle, etc., which have this state of mind, they are known as mine, this belongs to me, this belongs to me. At the same time, swasmat binnam. They are different from me, right? I don't ever take the bangle, which is mine, to be me, right? Or the earrings are mine, or the house is me. The house isn't me. The bangle is not me. The earrings are not me. Tata, similarly, panchakoshadikam madiyatvena jnatam, you know, these panchakoshas, which have this sense of me, mine, me and mine, right? Atmana bhavati, they are not the self. They are not me. In the same way, exactly the same way, that the bangle isn't me, or the earrings or the house, these are not me. In the same way that these are not me, these panchakoshas also are not me. In the same way that the bangle is known, the earrings are known, the house is known, the body is known, the pranas are known, the karmendriyas are known, the manas is known, the jnanendriyas are known, the buddhi is known, my fleeting joys and happinesses, they are all known, my deep sleep is known, and they are also not me. In the same way, anything that comes and goes, any experience that comes and goes, any experience that can be objectified, that cannot be me. Om Tat Sat. Then it says, well then what's the Atma? Atma Tarahika. What is the Atma then? Now that we've got rid of everything I've ever identified with as me, what's left? Who am I then? Literally when it says, who is the Atma then?
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.